It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it is the new year, finally. If you're listening to this on Saturday, it's January 2nd. And, of course, if you're listening to this on Sunday after the 7 o'clock news, it's January 3rd. But we have brought into the new year. Of course, COVID is still with us. I know people want to forget 2020, which for me, since March 16, has been a blur because that's when the American Dental Association recommended that people only go to the dentist for emergencies. So for the period of time, March 16th through June 1st, we were working with the dental community to help get the dental industry back up and running, and we did. And actually, since then, really since July, our claims have been pretty close to the pre-COVID norm, even with all the recent stories and statistics, you know, on COVID spikes. But there has been no known transmission of COVID from the dental office. Want to thank my guest last week, Jeannie Giralskis, who's the executive director of the McCullough-Shepherd Discovery Center. There's a lot of good stuff going over, believe it or not, at the Discovery Center, sometimes known as the Krista McAuliffe Planetarium. So I encourage you to go on their website, which is starhop.com, and there's a plethora of information on all the exciting things that are going on in 2021 for the McAuliffe-Shepherd Discovery Center. But with me this weekend is Erica Mumford. Now, Erica and I go back, way back for years. I was one of her regular participants in a very regular and well-attended internal aerobics classes that we did for employees. So we did that two or three times a week, and it was extremely well done by Erica and her team. And of course, like all things, you know, it migrated to other things, and then we created running and walking groups and, you know, fruit and eating healthy. And, of course, some of that, of course, we can't keep fruit around now on campus because of, you know, COVID guidelines. And, of course, we have 250 employees, but 200 of them, you know, work from home. So it's very difficult, obviously, to, you know, have a nucleus of employees in, you know, doing, you know, aerobics classes. So, but today is more generically on nutrition and wellness for the new year. So Erica, how have you been? And tell us about your organization. Tell us about your family, and tell us how you've coped with COVID, because I know you like to get out there, you enjoy people, and it must, like all of us, created some pivoting.
Oh, definitely. I think the new norm is not the norm we want to live by in the long term, but it's created some opportunity. I certainly miss very much so teaching all my fitness classes in person, so I've gotten to get very creative in terms of my own exercise routine at home. So I got some TRX bands, we hung a heavy bag, we bought and sold during COVID our new house. So we moved to Bow, which we love.
Oh, wow. That's where I live.
Right.
Great.
So much more space than our starter home. And we kind of got stuck in our starter home. But anyway, so it's really opened the door in terms of what exercise looks like. And now I'm in my 40s. And so, you know, the body just needs so much more recovery. And in terms of one thing you do have control over to help fight the natural aging process is nutrition. So I really, you know, my profession is my passion, and I continue to preach and practice what I preach. And I really think that nutrition can give you the edge to keep your body recovering from the demands of just life. It can help keep you energized and kind of slow down that aging train. So I think in terms of eating at home, that can be certainly challenging. I think that with COVID, what I've seen is that people being alone with food for the most part has been difficult because food is always there, so it can be accessible and people can end up eating too much, that COVID-19.
Yeah.
Or I think it can go the other way in terms of some triggering some restrictive eating because it's something that we can control. So I've definitely seen both sides of the coin when it comes to that. The good news that I've seen come out of being at home is some – increased opportunity for cooking or experimenting in the kitchen. And experimenting in the kitchen or cooking for some people can be really overwhelming if they don't do that very much. So I try to come at it with a little bit more of a simple approach of food assembly in terms of kind of putting together foods in kind of a more healthy manner that is kind of easy, quick and easy.
And I'm already seeing that we could probably fill up 2 hours on this because I'm really enjoying this. But let's take a step back because tell us again how you've your organization and how people can contact you. And then I'm curious too, you know, in terms of I know that early on, you know, we were restricted to you know, a lot of the exercise by Zoom. You know, a lot of the health clubs are back up and, you know, and running. But, of course, we all have other, you know, limitations to the extent that, you know, if we're living with an, you know, an aging parent and things like that. But tell us about the evolution of you, you know, of your organization, of your profession, and how people, you know, can contact you.
Sure. So I've been teaching fitness classes for 25 years and been a registered dietitian for almost that long, a little bit shorter. And so I started off at Concord Hospital. I worked doing primarily outpatient weight management groups and then also individual nutritional counseling for a variety of reasons. And I also became a certified diabetes educator at that point, too, so that little expertise. And then as my career grew, I did more worksite wellness and branched out on my own in terms of being a contract employee. So my primary role at this point is I work at St. Paul's School and work with the students there as well as the dining hall and some of the staff and the wellness committee as well. And then I also will do presentations. I think we're kind of like reworking how we do that. I haven't been doing that as much. Well, I'm trying to juggle having my kids home, you know, for school as well.
Oh, geez, yeah. Now, tell
right.
me. So I got this. We're kind of doing catching up on the air. So, how old are the kids now?
So my kids now are Alexis is 10, and Trevor is almost. He's 8. Turned 8 in December. And so they're great eaters. I really wouldn't tolerate them not being great eaters. They have certain dislikes that I won't push, but I do make them retry their dislikes if they haven't tried it or we're having it as part of our dinner. I do it myself. You know, I've always hated celery, and I re-eat it every time we have it. And I try to serve that as well as a parent to show that role modeling. You don't want to just have your kids miss out on something because you dislike it. My daughter loves that vegetable. And so they're doing wonderful. And then
to feel how quickly time flies, I remember when both are babies and now they're little people now. What grades are they in?
Alexis is in middle school in fifth grade because middle school starts in Bow in fifth grade and loves it and is thriving. And Trevor's thriving too, and he's in second grade now. So they're both pretty active. We're doing some indoor soccer now and ninja classes. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
We're trying to stay. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier the and I fell victim to it too, the quarantine 19, even though I wasn't. I'm one of the handful of employees who are on campus, so I wasn't sort of stuck by the refrigerator all day, but nevertheless, particularly early on, there wasn't, with pretty much everything shut down, I didn't get my sort of normal, you know, exercise regimen in, and yet I was still eating the same. And, of course, if you're not, it's pretty simple. I know it's a little bit more sophisticated, but if, you know, if you're not burning off as many calories as you were, and now you're eating the same or perhaps a little bit more, you're going to gain weight. So I had to do something about the quarantine 19 myself. So I got back into an exercise routine. You know, I signed up for Orange Theory in Concord and been going there religiously. But if you still are dealing with the quarantine 19 and or just generally would like to say, okay, here we are in 2021, and even though And everybody's saying, well, let's put 2020 behind us. I mean, you know, the pandemic continues. The vaccine is very promising, but it's going to take several months for there to be the herd immunity. And there's still going to be a lot of people still, you know, working from home and a lot of schools working virtually that if you've put on the weight and now you're still at home near the refrigerator, tell us some of your, and I know there's no silver bullet, but tell us some of your thoughts on weight loss for the new year and perhaps how to methodically take off some of that weight, you know, during the year, the new year.
And I think the holidays in terms of, you know, the regular norm of how people tend to creep on weight is they kind of gain a pound over the holiday season and then they never lose that pound. And so over time, that tends to add up. So it's also kind of helping deficit from the holidays. So the first and foremost thing that is very important, and this is important, is not relying on your willpower. Willpower is not a good long-term control strategy. So you want to rely on your environment to support you. And so that when you do feel vulnerable or looking for something, that what you have on hand supports you. And if you have treats, that they're placed in out of hand's reach. So when you look at your workstation, by human nature, we eat 50% more when it's within arm's reach. And we also eat 50% more when we eat out of large containers. So those two things right there, just setting up like your workspace that you have things like maybe your glass of water that you want to drink, or maybe you're working locally remotely and you can walk while you are on a headset. It only takes 7 minutes of exercise to release endorphins. So that can be a really good break to just kind of reset, because physical activity attracts healthy eating. Most of the time people will kind of maybe slack a little bit on their physical activity and then the eating goes out the window. It seldom happens in the reverse. So really just making time for that exercise, whether it's broken up. And so really when you look at what you want to be eating, you want to set up a bulk of what you're eating to be healthy foods around vegetables and fruit, beans, nuts and seeds, although you don't want to eat right out of the container of nuts and seeds, because those are finger foods and in healthier finger foods, but they can encourage us to overeat if we eat them out of the containers as well. Whole grains, particularly those whole grains that are cooked, tend to be more filling than whole grains, and definitely the white flour grains that aren't cooked. So that would be things such as oatmeal. Like if you have oatmeal, that tends to be 4 times more filling than cold cereal. It's the science of volumetrics, the volume of food filling us up. There's a wonderful book called Volumetrics, all about that, the science of satiety, how it fills us up. And so in those cooked whole grains, also things like brown rice, there's also a variety of whole grain pastas that have really come a long way. So a couple of my favorite whole grain pastas are brown rice pasta. I also like a quinoa blend pasta. These pastas tend to taste better if you cook them versus then if you leave them as leftovers. And if you do leave them as leftovers, you want to toss them with a little bit of olive oil so they don't stick together. Another favorite pasta is a red lentil pasta. Generally speaking, with all those kind of pastas, you don't want to have the spaghetti because it tends to clump when it cooks. You want like the thinner, you know, angel hair, like smaller pieces. So those would be all examples of whole grains. Barley is another great whole grain, particularly for high cholesterol. Barley and oats in particular for high cholesterol.
So is all this you're talking about, is it available? And then we'll go to commercial break. Is all available in a regular supermarket, correct?
Oh, like, definitely. Yeah,
okay, good.
Specialty, yep.
Great. And if someone wanted to contact you, how would they get a hold of you?
You can just email me directly, Mumford, as in my last name, Mumford and Sons, spelled that way, Mumford, wellness@yahoo.com.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Erica Mumford this weekend to talk about nutrition and wellness for the new year. And we have another 12 minutes to share. So, Erica, once again, why don't you give us your contact information?
Sure. My contact information is Mumford, Mumford, wellness, WELLNESS, at yahoo.com.
And I like the way we were talking about willpower is hard for all of us, but if you can set up, you know, a supportive food environment such as like, I agree with you. I know, like, if I have what I think, you know, is seemingly, you know, like a trail mix, and you put that in a big thing nearby, next thing you know, you've eaten 1,000 calories of nuts and M&Ms, you know, so things like that. So I really like the way you talk about setting up a supportive food environment, because candidly, for most of us, you know, eating, I think you get into a good rhythm, then I think you also get into a, you know, a bad rhythm. I'm speaking for myself, and when I'm on a good roll, and it is usually about the infrastructure, which is, okay, I'm working out every morning at 5:30. You know, I'm gonna shed the snacks. I'm gonna eat light for dinner and go to bed earlier. And if I can stay to that, you know, I'm in a good place. If I start wavering from that, it's just too tempting, particularly around the holiday period when, you know, someone sends you a box of Lindt chocolates or someone sends you trail mix and or a big box of peanuts, and the next thing you know, those are half gone. So anyway, I really like the way you put that. So question. So how do you, is there a physiological or other way to sort of tame the sweet tooth, which is a problem for many of us?
Well, sugar begets sugar, so the more you eat, the more you're going to eat. And the more variety you have on hand, the more you will eat as well. So if you are looking for something sweet and you change up what you're eating within that eating episode, so you have some cookies and then you have some candies, and then maybe you switch to something salty and then something sweet again, it reactivates the taste buds. It just causes us to eat more. So I have a big sweet tooth, and there's certain things that I will overeat if they're in my house. So not to say that I never have those things, but I try not. When I get those things, I try to just have buy a single portion survey so I don't have to rely on my willpower later on. I think also you touched on what you were just talking about with a lighter dinner. I think a lot of times what I hear, I do well during the day. I eat light, and then I don't know what happens later. And I think sometimes our good intentions backfire. If we don't fuel ourselves by day and have really a substantial breakfast within an hour of waking and then try to eat on a schedule of every 3 to 4 hours thereafter, whether it's a mini meal or a snack or whatever, you know, hunger is not a wise decision maker. Einstein said that, and I love that quote. He was a smart man. And so you want to get ahead of when you're too hungry. So that's really going to help. Another thing that helps with sweet is if you have some things that are naturally sweet that you enjoy within your regular food intake so you don't feel deprived. So you might up your fruit intake. That's kind of like a given. Maybe you have a yogurt you really like. Trying to make a power smoothie is a great idea. So that could work as either like an afternoon pick-me-up if you're working out at home, or it might be a morning time thing. You could blend together a whole bunch of superfood ingredients like yogurt, milk, or kefir, or milk alternatives, frozen fruit, particularly tart cherries and blueberries. Those are really going to help with that anti-aging I was talking about before. Maybe a creamy fruit like a banana or a half avocado, and then do some power-packed nutrition in there, keeping spoonful of flax, chia seeds, cocoa powder. And then you can sweeten it to taste if you need it a little bit more, maybe with a little bit of honey or tart cherry juice. That's another superfood. But really having something that you enjoy that has a sweet taste. And then if you're like an ice cream person, but you have a hard time controlling your portion, I would recommend to buy things on sticks that are less than 200 calories each. And so then it has a more defined portion. It has a pause factor before you go back for more.
And then don't go through the box, but yeah.
Right.
No,
exactly.
I mean, oh my God, this is such great advice. So let's talk now strategically too, in terms of quote unquote superfoods to help with you know, prevention of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and cancer. So tell us, you can take all those categories, and of course there's no panacea, and occasionally all of us humans are victimized by our genetic pool as well. But obviously I'm a big believer in that you are what you eat, and diet and exercise go a long way to, you know, quality of life. But so tell us your thoughts on superfoods to help with prevention of heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and cancer.
Sure. First and foremost, I would say get in your vegetables, and so always have a variety on hand, a backup of frozen vegetables, and you want to aim to fill half your plate with vegetables at least twice a day. Less than 10% of Americans eat enough fruits and vegetables. So the vegetables that tend to be, all vegetables are healthy. The healthiest ones are the brightest in color, and so in addition to your green leafy vegetables, that might be things like beets and broccoli and anything orange like winter squash, sweet potato. A good way to get in your veggies is just to roast them in some extra virgin olive oil. So extra virgin olive oil is a great anti-inflammatory. Right in downtown Concord is a wonderful olive oil shop called Celeste Olive Oil, and it has a very high nutrition content, and it's excellent. And they also have a good variety of balsamic vinegars. That one is called chocolate, and you can drizzle it on your food and make it taste better in a healthy way. But to do a big pan of roasted vegetables, that might be good hot or cold. Have a few things that are easy to prep. So one of my easy prep meals is I just drain and rinse some kidney beans, mix it with frozen green beans that I cook, and I toss it with feta cheese and my favorite vinaigrette, and it's kind of my go-to, and sometimes I put some slivered almonds in there. But just to have a couple quick things. So a bowl is a really good way to kind of mix and match a bunch of different vegetables. You can, and then you have some kind of protein source, whether it's meat or fish or nuts or seeds or beans or a combination, and then some kind of a flavor punch. So if you like hot sauce or a squeeze of lemon or your favorite salad dressing, you could add that on for the taste, and then maybe that cooked whole grain in there. Instant brown rice only takes 5 minutes to cook, or it might be one of those whole grain pastas. And then that could even be something that you make a big batch one day, and then it's an easy way to assemble the rest of the week. So anything bright, try to fill your day with a rainbow of colorful fruits and vegetables is a good way to think about those power foods.
Wow, that's a simple way of thinking about it. So as you talk to people, not just during the holiday season, but, you know, throughout the year, you know, whether it's pre-COVID or post-COVID, what do you feel like people that exercise a lot, they may struggle with what they're, you know, with what they're eating, and then sometimes people that don't exercise maybe do eat correctly, but they don't exercise as much, so they have other issues. So how do you get that balance, and like how do you encourage your clients to do both things, you know, eat in moderation, eat right, and, you know, and also exercise?
I'm not a morning person. I love the idea of being a morning person, but COVID forced me. I exercise is always part of my lifestyle. I got paid to do it, and it was part of my schedule. So it really was very difficult in terms of trying to recreate how I do that. And so getting up in the morning for me was very difficult. But when I hit the alarm, and I admittedly hit snooze a bunch, I just had the mentality of even 20 minutes, even 10 minutes. It's better than zero. And then, you know, if you break up your physical activity, people tend to do more, and they can do it a little bit. You know, you can walk faster when you think like, oh, I'm only walking for 15 minutes. So I think establishing a regular time and building on that, but also being creative in terms of not giving up on that. Even if you exercise for 10 minutes, that's 10 minutes more than zero. And so over the course of a year, if you eat an extra 100 calories a day, that translates into 10 pounds of weight gain. And so walking a mile burns 100 calories. So that's a really good way to offset that creep of weight. And it is also, of course, a way to attract healthier eating behaviors. It clears your brain. It rids your body of toxins. And so I think just feeling the benefit of exercise, doing it to your best capacity, and adding on whenever you can. I think that's the best advice for that.
Yeah, I like those hints, because I know, like, if I'm having a day where I think, you know what, I'm really don't feel like exercising. I will sort of play that mind game. Okay, well, just get on the elliptical for 15 minutes. You can do that, right? Anybody can do that, right?
Right.
And maybe sometimes it ends after 15 minutes, which of course is, like you say, can burn off that potato you had or whatever. But sometimes a 15 minute turns, you know what, I actually feel pretty good, turns into 30 minutes or whatever. So, you know, I like your technique. So do you think, as you kind of navigate COVID, do you think, have you seen some people thrive during it, and then others maybe not so? And what has been the difference between someone maybe that's really engaged, you know, the reality that we're living in, versus someone that is still not quite, you know, quite there yet, and is still dealing with the, you know, the whatever, the quarantine 19?
Well, I think you have to try to look to the bright side of all this, because it's not just here for a month. It's been kind of a much longer path than we all could have imagined. So I think it probably initially most people were not doing well, and I think over time maybe that has switched, because now it is kind of here to stay, at least in the foreseeable future. And so you just really getting creative and emphasizing what you're doing well. You don't always have to pick on what you're doing wrong. If you do more of what you're doing well, eating more of the healthy foods you already enjoy, that helps crowd out the other food. If you do more physical activity on certain days, and maybe you don't do it, you know, the recommended 5 days for at least an hour, but one day you were able to do a double session, you know, it all adds up. And I've gotten creative having my kids at home with a physical activity front. My body doesn't like to run anymore. It's just it's too tough on my joints. But I have, you know, I play a game with my son. I throw this foam football, and I am on the elliptical when I do it, and he's running and jumping into the beanbags. So I think you got to just rethink everything that you do in terms of your regular routine, and how can I tweak this to better fit. And when you feel that negative mindset, trying to just flip that and think, okay, what am I grateful for? And before you know it, then you're starting to spin the positive. It takes a lot of practice. But I think that really can help people change with time. Just like they showed in an experiment with people who were depressed, they just had them smile more, and lo and behold, they were happier. So sometimes you got to fake it to make it.
Yeah, you never, you won't get any argument from me in terms of smile. So we have, of course, people wearing a mask, and it's hard to see the smile, but you can definitely see the smile, you know, through the mask. And just as a public service announcement, everybody's very safe to go to the dentist still. They know about infection control, and there's been no known, you know, transmissions of COVID, you know, at the dental office. So I like the way you put it. And I like also the way you described it, which is we all go through these sort of phases where, oh, my God, I can't do another Zoom, right, you know, whatever. But then the pluses, you know, I'm seeing my family more. And, you know, other things like that. So, yeah, Thanksgivings were, the gatherings were smaller, but maybe more intimate in terms of, you know, four people actually having a conversation as opposed to, you know, a lot of noise. So I like the whole perspective that you've given us today. I really appreciate you, Erica. So give us your contact information one more time.
It's mumfordwellness@yahoo.com. I have two more superfoods. Cooked
sure.
Mushrooms, and on a other different note, black, green, and oolong tea. That helps
Ooh.
Provide alertness without drowsiness. So that can be a good afternoon pick-me-up, too. And they, if you drink a lot of it, it tends to actually burn more calories in the course of the day.
I like that. And I like, by the way, how you said, like, you can, you know, if you're not eating right, you can put on a pound. If you think of it, if you put on 1 pound a month, over 2 years, you've now gained that 25 pounds. That's really hard to get off. So
right.
I think. Thank you for describing all those superfoods and keeping us healthy. And I'm sure we'll see you around the community, hopefully more in person in 2021. But if not, we'll like you say, we're managing it. One more time, your contact information.
MumfordWellness@yahoo.com.